everybody. Don't you guys just love the sound of like family? Don't you love the sound of community happening? And don't you love the sound of just joy and love? And I absolutely love it. I have been loving the series that we've been doing here, Greater Together, and have just really like, I don't know, you just kind of like fall in love with the body of Christ all over again. And it's just been wonderful. Hopefully it's been a blessing to you. A couple of really quick things. My name is Lee, in case we haven't met yet. I am the lead pastor here at Mercy Vineyard. And I'm just so glad that you're here. I'm so excited. A couple of really quick announcements. Alpha is beginning in just a couple of weeks. We're so excited about Alpha. We're going to get together. We're going to share a meal. We're going to watch a video together. We're going to discuss the deeper things of life, the deeper meanings of life, and it's just going to be a wonderful time. It goes for about 12 weeks, and part of it is, if you want to get involved with it, we're going to go and we're going to have a little retreat together, a weekend together. It's just going to be a great, great time, and so I'm so excited about Alpha. The sign-up sheet for that is on the coffee bar. There's a clipboard there, so if you'd like to become a part of Alpha, that's on Wednesday nights, right here at 6:30, and so you can sign up at the coffee bar, or you can go to findmercy.org/alpha and just fill out the little sign-up form there, and we'll get you there. Again, if you've been praying for people, if you have some names on the cross, and you say, I've been praying for that person to find Jesus, I've been praying for that person to find hope in their lives, invite them to Alpha, and that is the perfect place to bring them. It'll be great. And then, also, y'all know we have pre-service prayer, and normally we've been having prayer at what time? Right now, we'd be wrapping up prayer, yeah. So, at 10 o'clock. So now, pre-service prayer is at 9 o'clock, and it's in the East Hall. So it'll be in our kids' space, and we'll be there praying at 9 o'clock from 9 to 9:25. And then we got a ski battle out of there so that our awesome kids' workers can get ready for kids' church, and that will be fantastic. So just want to let you know about that. And so how many here, you're here with your kids? You brought your kids in with you? A few people, yes, okay. You know, you guys, I love seeing generations worship together. I love seeing generations worship together. And you know what? You know one of the things I love about kids? Because kids are sincere, because kids will worship with abandon, because kids don't care what the people next to them are thinking you're doing. And I thought it would just be so much fun just to bless you guys and to give you an opportunity to go hang out with your kids, to hang out with your kids at Whitey's. And so I want everybody here to get a cone card so they can take their kids to Whitey's. And so, Hudson, if you could help me, come up here, Hudson. All right. And Cole, why don't you come too? So make sure everybody on this side of the room gets one. Make sure everybody on this side of the room gets one. And make sure I get one too. I'm just kidding. Here, put that in there. Make sure everybody gets one, okay? All right. So I just wanted to give you guys some Whitey's. Please take your kids to Whitey's. Yeah. And take your kids out for ice cream. I don't want to see any parent here put that in their pocket and go, no, that's mine. So, and actually, it is for you. It's for you to go and just take your kids out for a cone on Mercy Vineyard, okay? So make sure everybody gets one of those. And if you run out, then take it away from Andy and give it to somebody else. I'm just kidding, Andy. So get yourselves, have yourselves some Whiteys on me. All right. So, hey, this morning, I just want to remind you guys, I know Karen mentioned it earlier, but can we put our vision statement up on the screen? This is what we're all about as a church, okay? This is why we exist. And we exist, why don't you guys say it with me? We are living a passionate mission to love, grow, and go for the greater glory of God. That's what we're all about, right? We're loving each other. We're loving God. We're growing in Jesus together, right? We're going. We're serving. We're serving each other. We're serving our community. We serve through Royal Family Kids Camp. We serve in different, you know, outreaches that we do here, our Halloween party. We serve each other. We make each other coffee. All those things. And it's wonderful. And I just love being a part of it. Yes. Are we out? There's one left. Give it away. Cole's got some. If you didn't get one, just raise your hand so Cole can give you some. So hopefully, I thought I bought more than we need. So if you didn't get one, you know, Forrest, oh gosh, for course, give that to somebody who doesn't have one. I will buy you ice cream for us. Come on. So, yeah, give that to somebody who doesn't have one. All right. So, also, I just want to... Boys, are you done yet? Okay, anyone else? All right. Excellent. Well, her parents won't let her eat that. Just kidding. Okay, you guys can have a seat. Thank you guys for helping. Cole, here, I'll take those just in case anybody didn't get any. If you didn't get one, there's plenty here. Just come see me. Just see me afterwards. So, all right. So, a couple of quick things. There we go. Where was I? You guys distracted me with your whiteies. Okay. Thank you for coming to check us out. If it's your first time here, if you have any questions, see somebody wearing a lanyard, or you can go to findmercy.org. You can contact me there. And if you have any questions, this morning, in case you haven't figured it out yet, is Family Sunday. Isn't it great to have the whole family in here? I love having the whole family in here, okay? We've got the whole family worshiping together in the same room. In a little bit, we're going to go share a potluck dinner together, and we're going to eat, and it's going to be wonderful. Listen, if you're here and you're like, but I didn't bring anything and I'm embarrassed, just come and eat, okay? Just come, grab something. There's plenty. There's more. Everybody, we always take home leftovers after a potluck, don't we? And so just come and eat and fellowship with us, and it's great. And so also today is Membership Sunday, right? And we're going to be welcoming new members in just a little bit. Membership Sunday is quite awesome, and so I'm excited about that. But we've been going through a series over the last few weeks called Greater Together, right? Or hashtag Greater Together. Yeah, I'm hashtag blessed. But we've been going through a series called Greater Together. We've been talking about how when we're together as a church, when we serve as a church together, that we have a greater impact, right? Our impact is multiplied, and that we have a greater impact for the kingdom. We've been talking about how God brings a blessing when we're in unity together. And we've been talking about how praying for our church makes a huge difference in our ability to reach seekers and to help people grow in Jesus. How many went home last week and they were like, you know what, I need to just go pray more for my church? A couple people, yeah. Thank you for praying for Mercy Vineyard. We need all the prayer that we can get. I'm so glad that you did that. And so there's just something amazing, and there's just something wonderful about the church. And a lot of times I think that we don't always see how incredible the church is. You know, we kind of take it for granted, you know. You ever notice that we take things for granted until it's gone? Can I just tell you, so I'll just be real honest with you. One of the most incredible moments in my marriage was when my wife ended up in the hospital with meningitis. It's because I went, holy cow, I could lose her. And it was this horrifying moment in my life. And I remember, you know, going, like, she was in the hospital room, and I would go into the bathroom because I was afraid if she woke up, she'd wake up to see me crying, and I didn't want to be a discouraging presence. And so I would go into the bathroom, and I would just pray, and I would cry, and I'd just be like, I, you know, God, anything, you know, just don't let me lose her. And, you know, when we are on the verge or brink of losing something, a lot of times then we realize, oh, I didn't even realize what I had. And I think a lot of us sometimes get there with the church pretty easily. We don't really realize what we have. We don't really understand how incredible the church is. And we kind of take it for granted. We take a lot of the greatest blessings in our life for granted. And, you know, I wish that all of us could kind of, you know, maybe take a pill or do something that sort of like pulls back the veil over our eyes to see how wonderful God's church is, to see how wonderful the kingdom is. You know, Bill Hybels, I don't know if you guys know who Bill Hybels is. Bill Hybels pastors a church of around 20,000 people. That's insane, you know. And he once said this. He once said, nothing on earth has greater potential to change lives and carry out his kingdom work in your community than the local church. There's nothing like the local church when it's working right. Its beauty is indescribable. Its power is breathtaking. Its potential is unlimited. No other organization on earth is like the church. Nothing even comes close. And you know what? He's right. He is right. And so as we close this series out today, I want to talk about what a treasure it is just to be a member of God's family, to be a member of the church. I remember one time, and maybe you guys have experienced something like this before, but Wendy and I, years ago, and this was before Hudson was born, was Cole even around yet? Was he born yet? No, it was just Forrest. Okay, so just the three of us. And we were living in a house in the middle of nowhere, New Mexico. And so when you kind of imagine like the desert, tumbleweeds, all that stuff, that's where we lived, out in the middle of nowhere. And we had this house, and I remember one day I get this phone call from Wendy, because I was at work and she went grocery shopping and she came home to discover that our house had been ransacked. And somebody just kicked the door down and just ran through the house and took whatever they could and then ran out, and we called the police and all that stuff. And I remember going to church the next Sunday, and somebody somewhere, you know, told a bunch of people, and they said, hey, you know, Wendy and Lee were robbed. Let's help them out. Let's just help them replace the things that they lost. And we received so many. You guys ever hear of a Pentecostal handshake? Y'all know what that is? Okay. That's when somebody goes, hey, brother, and shakes your hand and slips you like a $20 bill. You know, and so like we received so many Pentecostal handshakes that morning that we walked away that Sunday morning just able to replace everything. And it was because the family of God went, oh, they have a need. There's a crisis in their life. Hey, let's step up and let's do it. And they were the church that day. There were no programs. The pastor didn't announce from the pulpit, hey, everybody, we need to help Lee and Wendy. There was none of that. It was just the family of God went, oh, right, there's a need. Let's meet it. Let's rush to meet it. And that's what the church does. That's what the family of God does. I love it. It's wonderful. And you know, it's so funny because, you know, you ever get in this conversation with somebody and goes, oh, yeah, the church, right. Yeah, they're a bunch of hypocrites. Oh, yeah, the church, yeah. Thanks to them, we had the Crusades. Have you heard that one? You know what I like to say? You know what? Also, thanks to the church, we have schools. You know, also, hospitals didn't exist until the church stepped up and saw a need. Hey, guess what? There was no such thing as orphanages. People were abandoning their children on the street until the church stepped up and went, hey, this isn't right. We need to meet a need. And so that's what the church does, and that's what the church is good at. And I love the church for it, okay? And so I remember another time, and I mentioned earlier just how when Wendy was in the hospital. You guys want to know who came to the hospital to see her to make sure everything was cool? It was the church. It was people from the church, right? It was the church showed up. You know, they came to say, hey, do you guys need anything? Can we bring in meals? Can we take care of the kids so that you can stay in the hospital with Wendy? It was the church that stepped up. And, you know, maybe you've been there before. Maybe you have a similar story. You know, things were falling apart and people from your church stepped up, right? And so, you know, I think it's one of the most tragic things for me is when somebody goes through a crisis and they don't tell anyone from church. Like, you know, because sometimes we'll hear, we're like, oh, wait a minute, so-and-so's relative died? Oh, wait, so-and-so is going through a crisis? And it's like, and you find out afterwards, you're like, oh, no, why didn't you say something before so the church could step up and be a part of the solution? Maybe someone in the church came and they brought you meals. Maybe somebody in the church encouraged you. Or maybe somebody from the church gave you a little tough love. Anybody from the church ever come up to you and tell you, you need to get your junk together? That's still the church too, right there. You know, when somebody from the church steps up and goes, hey, you know, you need to get your junk together. You're going down the wrong path here. Hey, you know, you need to learn how to love your wife better. You know, you need to learn how to love your husband better. Or hey, you need to kind of give up that vice. I can see it's taking you down a bad path. And you know what? That's the church too. Tough love is the church, because church is family, right? And we care about our family, and we're able to speak into our family's lives. And when you go through an experience like that, you gain an appreciation for the family of God. I'll never forget, you know, one of the most important, you know, moments in my life is way, way, way back in high school. I remember I was back in high school and I was dating some girl. And a friend of mine noticed that ever since I started dating that girl, that my spiritual life was starting to fizzle out, that my passion for God was starting to wane. And he noticed that. And he noticed that, you know, all of a sudden where God was just first in a priority in my life, so he was becoming an afterthought. And I'll never forget, he comes over to my house after school, knocks at the door, walks in, goes, hey, how's it going? What you doing? I'm like, hey, I'm doing fine. What are you up to? And, you know, we get through the chit-chat, and he goes, you're out of God's will being with that girl. And of course I went, what? No. She loves the Lord. She loves the Lord. What are you talking about, you know? No, it's not affecting my spiritual life. And I kind of did that number. And he goes, no, you're out of God's will being with her. You know, I can see how she's affecting you spiritually. I can see that, you know, your spiritual passion is waning and you know, your priorities are changing and all that. And but you know what? That planted the seed in me to go, he was right. You know, those are hard moments. But it was family that did that. It was out of love. You know, and a lot of us would label that, oh, he's being a busybody, he's sticking his nose where it doesn't belong. And you know what? In the family of God, there's no such thing as that. Because that, what is family? But we're able to kind of get up in each other's grill, right? Somebody who used to come here used to go, get up in your cheese. I don't like that expression near as much as grill. But still, you know. And so, but that's what family does. Church is family. And so when we go through an experience for that, we gain an appreciation from the family of God, okay? And if you've been in church for a couple of years, you can probably share a story or two like that where the community has blessed you, has stepped around, has prayed for you, or somebody was there for you and made a lasting impression on you. And here's the thing about this, though. Like, all of us can think of somebody in our church life that we admire, right? Can anybody think of somebody somewhere in your church life that you could admire, you know, that they stepped up, you watched the way they serve, you watched the way that they love, you watched their generosity, and you go, I kind of admire that person, right? And the thing is this, is that God doesn't want us to just admire those who love and bless others. He wants us to be those who love and bless others. That's how God wants us to do and what he wants us to be, okay? And so how do we make the shift? Because we've got to make the shift from going to church to being the church. Because that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to shift from going to church to being the church. Now, how do we experience community the way that God intended it to be? Well, we're going to talk about that, but let's pray real quick, okay, guys? Father, in Jesus' name, we love you so much. God, we want to be the church that you've called us to be. God, we want to be the church that that is the church and that loves and goes and grows. And God, I pray that you would just do what you need to do in our hearts to take us there. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so what I want to do, guys, is I want to start off with a story from 1 Chronicles, okay? But I'm going to need a little help. I'm going to need some help. And let's see here. Here's what I need. I need someone to be King David. I need a King David. Ruthie, your hand was the first one up. Why don't you come up here, Ruthie? Okay, you can be King David. And you can sit right here. This is your King David throne, all right? Okay, so you're going to sit and you're going to face that way. Okay, King David? Wait a minute, you know what? You probably need a crown. Let's see here. Oh, man, my crown broke in the box. Oh, here we go. We'll just snap it back together. Okay. I crown thee King Ruthie David. All right. There you go. So we got King David here. But we also need, in the Bible, King David had 30 warriors that were unstoppable. They were insanely skilled. But out of those 30 warriors, there were three of them that were just, can I say it with the children here? They were BA, okay? They were insane. They were so skilled. They were unstoppable. So I need three warriors. Okay, come on, Kale. You can be a warrior. Ahava, come be a warrior. You're a warrior, right, Aaron? You're totally a warrior. Come on, Aaron. We know you're a warrior, all right? So you guys, you're going to stand right over here. You're going to stand right over here facing King David. Okay, so you guys stand there, face King David, Ruthie, and but because you're warriors, you're going to need some stuff here, right? You're going to need some warrior stuff, so we need that, all right? Need a shield. Aaron needs a shield and a sword. Boom. Boom. Your warrior. Yes. All right. So we need some warriors. And, wait a minute, also, we need a pitcher of pretend water over here, and we need some Philistines, some big, big, bad Philistines, super bad. All right, you can be a Philistine. Come on, Clara. Yeah, you're super tough, but you're going to be right here. In fact, you're going to need backup, right? So, Ryan, why don't you come be a Philistine? You be a Philistine. And, all right, Cal and Hudson, come be Philistines. Okay, you be Philistines. And how about we get Esther, why don't you come be a Philistine? Yeah? All right, and then we need another really big, bad Philistine. Ryan, come be a Philistine. And Vince, come be a Philistine. See all you guys, whew. See you guys all stand right around here. Just stand right here. Stand right here, facing that way. Okay, so you guys are the Philistines. And so you're David. You're David's three mightiest warriors in the whole world, okay? And I'm going to read the story for you. And so you guys will act it out for me as I read the scripture, okay? Y'all ready? Okay, just nod your head if you're ready. Like this. Caleb, like this. No, not, okay, there we go. Yes. All right. So, now you guys, I love this story. It's one of my favorite stories in the whole Bible. These guys are Philistines. We got David here. We got David's three mightiest warriors. And it goes like this. This is from 1 Chronicles 11, 15 through 18. And it says this. It says, once when David... No, that's good. Okay. Just one of these was fine. All right. Once was when David was at the rock near the cave of Adullam, the Philistine army... Roar! Give me a Phil. Yes, okay. They were camped at the Valley of Rephaim. The three... Huzzah! All right. The three, very good, that was excellent. The three who were among the 30, an elite group among David's fighting men. Flex your muscles, guys. Fighting men. Yes, excellent, very good. I'm feeling a little intimidated today, okay? They went down to meet him. So like, hey, David, how's it going? Hey, what's up, guys? What's up? What's up, G? Pound it. Everybody pound David. Everybody pound David. Good to see you guys. Yes. All right, good. All right, so they came. All right, David was staying in the stronghold at the time, and a Philistine detachment had occupied the town of Bethlehem. Philistine detachment. Okay, so they occupied the town of Bethlehem. David remarked longingly to his men, and this is where you say this. Okay, say, oh, how I would love some of that good water from the well by the gate in Bethlehem. All right. So David was like, oh, I just love some of that water. And so David's three mighty men broke through the Philistine lines. They fought off the Philistines. They went and they fought off the Philistines. They fought them off. They defeated them. There you go. Defeat the Philistines, guys. Defeat Cal. There you go. He's gone. Defeat Asher. Defeat. Just don't forget Clara. She's got to get defeated too, as if she's the last remaining Philistine. All right, Ryan. Ryan, good job. All right. They fought off the Philistines. Okay, now grab the water. One of you guys grab the water. Okay. Okay. And they drew some water from the well by the gate in Bethlehem, and they brought it back to David. They brought the water back to David. Come back around. Yes, they brought, okay, give it to David. Very good. They brought it back to David, but David refused to drink it. Instead, he poured it out as an offering to the Lord. Yeah. Give them a hand. Very good, you guys. I'll take this. Thank you very much, Ruthie. Thank you. Thank you. Good job, you guys. Good job. You could just throw that right there. Throw that in the box. Thank you. Thank you very much. Excellent job, guys. Excellent, excellent job. So I love that story, right? David's men coming. They're mighty warriors. They hear David say, oh, man, I would just so love some of that water from Bethlehem. And they went through and they fought an entire detachment of Philistine soldiers just to bring them back some water. I mean, that was it, just to bring them back some water. I love that story. And can I just say, I love that picture of commitment to their friend David. I love that David said, man, I love some water. And what'd they do? They fought off Philistines to bring them some. Okay? They didn't just go, you know what? We need to pray that David can get some of that water. right? They didn't just go, hey, man, boy, that sounds really good, but maybe we can get Dave some easier water, you know? But they were committed. And so I want you guys, if you remember one thing today, remember this, okay? We are greater together when we're committed to each other. That's when the church is the greatest, is when we, as the members of the church, are committed to each other, when we love each other. We are greater. We are an awesome church when we're committed to each other. You know what? We're a so-so church when we show up on Sunday, right? When the level of our love and commitment to Jesus and commitment to the church is just kind of showing up, you know, 3 Sundays out of 8, and that's about it, you know, it doesn't do much for the church. I mean, we're always glad, you know, whoever's here, we're always welcome, but we're greatest together when we're committed to each other, when we're committed to each other. And so that's when we're greatest together. David's friends were so committed to him that they were willing to go through incredible lengths to get him some water, right? To get some water for him. They were committed to him. That's a picture of commitment. You know, it's funny. I remember it feels like in my teenage years. You ever notice, like, teenagers, they'll like, you know, they'll go to blows for each other. Like, you know, teenagers will like, but when we become adults, it's almost like we sort of lose some of that passion for our commitment for each other. We lose some of that compassion. And just like my friend Chris, who came over and said, hey, well, I got to talk to you about something. We were teenagers, you know, and he had that kind of commitment. Boom, let's do it. And so we're greater together when we're committed to each other, all right? And so I'm sure that when David's friends arrived, because the Bible says that he traveled a long way to see him, they traveled a long way to see him, I'm sure that when they arrived, that they were tired. I'm sure that getting David that water was a major inconvenience for them, wouldn't you say? They had to fight down Philistines. Did you see some of those Philistines? I mean, they were tough, all right? Did you see some of those Philistines? And I'm sure it was a major inconvenience for David's mighty warriors to go and fetch that water from him, because they had to fight down Philistines, okay? But they loved their friend, and they showed their love for David by their commitment to David. Y'all catch that? Isn't that how we show love for each other? When we get married, don't we? We stand up and we commit to each other. Isn't that an act of love? And so they showed their love by their commitment for each other. Okay? And so I want to show you guys. This is really cool. I'm just going to show you a really quick video. How many of you have ever seen The Avengers? Okay, yeah. All right, I'm going to show you just a really quick video from the movie The Avengers, because it's kind of humorous, but I think it gives a somewhat accurate picture of a healthy church. Okay, and I'll explain in just a minute. Go ahead and show that. All right. I love that as a picture of the church. And why do I love that as a picture of the church? Because that's what we look like a lot of times. Okay? We're heroes, man. We're here because we are the last hope of the world. Because God has called us to expand his kingdom, to bring hope, to bring healing. And there is no plan B, right? If we don't step up to change our community, no one else is going to. There's not a plan B, okay? It's up to us. And I love it because we're committed to saving the world for the glory of God, and we're committed to each other. And so we have this sense almost of like exhausted fellowship, right? It's the sense of, oh, I'm tired, but it's a good tired because I've been working to expand God's kingdom. Oh, I'm tired, but it's a good tired because, you know what? Because of my stepping up and my commitment to the kingdom of God, other people are seeing Jesus through me. Other people are seeing Jesus through my service. Do you guys want to know, like, if there was a movie version of our Royal Family Kids Camp coming home dinner, that's it, right? That is it. We come back, We're exhausted. We've been spent all week long. We are drained in every way that you could possibly be drained. And we're sitting around eating and just thanking God that he used us to make a difference in the world. All right? That's the church. And I love that. We feel tired. Sometimes we feel beat up. But we're committed. We're committed to each other. We're committed to being participants in the kingdom of God. So how do we break down this story just a little bit from 1 Chronicles? I want to just sort of unpack it a little bit for you. But the first thing is this. How do we move from churchgoer to contributor? Okay? Forget about the church as a building. Forget about the church as an institution. We got to stop this nonsense of going, the church is an institution, the church is an organization, the church is a building. We need to stop that, and we need to embrace the church as people. The church is people. The church is people. And you know what? The more we use language like, oh, they need to be doing this, and they need to do that, and that organization, and that institution, what happens is when we start to paint the church as an institution, as an organization, it takes the responsibility off us. Right? It takes the responsibility off us. Because instead of being a people, a family that I'm committed to, it's an organization that should be doing that. Instead of a family where I should be playing my part. Okay? Y'all catch that? So we need to stop thinking of the church as a building or an institution and embrace the church as a people. It's people. It's our family. And David's friends had to travel to see him, and it wasn't a friendship of convenience, right? It wasn't one that only existed on Sunday mornings. It was a people, they were family. And we need to understand that it's not just about what happens on Sunday mornings. You know, Sundays are important. They really are. I love Sundays. I love being here Sundays. I love worshiping. I don't know where my life would be if it weren't for Sundays. But you know what? It's the connections that we make with each other throughout the week. They're just as important, right? It's just, how many have ever gotten a text, an encouraging text from somebody from church during the week? Yeah? And you know how much that means to you, right? We have somebody here that every few days or every week or two, they'll send a text to either me or Wendy, and all it is a smiley face. And they came up to us one Sunday, and they just said, hey, just want you to know, when I send you a smiley face, it just means I'm thinking about you and praying for you. And man, those little smiley face texts mean everything. Aren't they wonderful when you get one? You know, it's the connections that we make. It's the life that we live together throughout the week, and it makes such a difference. It's so important. A phone call, a visit, a text, a Facebook connection. They're meaningful touches that make us greater together when we connect during the week. That's why we love growth groups, right? That's why we're doing Alpha. I can't wait for Alpha because we get to share a meal together. And we get to talk, you know, we get to disagree with each other. I love that. We get to disagree with each other and still love each other. I love that. We're working on actually a Facebook growth group that's going to be happening. We've been testing it and kind of working the bugs out recently. And I can't wait to just during the week just meet up with as many of you who want to meet up with on Facebook and just dig into a verse or dig into a passage and talk about it. And I just can't wait for that meaningful connection throughout the week, okay? And so forget about the church as a building or an institution. Embrace the church as a people. Next, if we're going to be a church that functions the way that God wants us to function, if we're going to be a church that is greater together, we need to be tuned into the needs of others, right? Be tuned into the needs of others. This one can be tough. And you know, a lot of people, what we do, and this is natural and this is normal and there's nothing wrong with this, but a lot of us, when we join a church, we join a church because of there's a need that we want to get met, right? And that's just totally normal, right? That's where we start. That's a starting point in church. I have a need for community, or I have a need for friendship, or I have a need for encouragement or discipleship. And that's where we start, and that's normal. And you know what? If you joined a church because of that reason, that's great. That's awesome, right? That's where we start. And it's okay. It's okay if that's why you joined a church, because there was a need you wanted met or a preference you wanted met or whatever. But the problem is we don't want to get stuck there, right? We don't want to be at a church for a year, for 2 years, for 3 years, and we're still there because there was a need that needed to be met, right? We don't want to get stuck at that place, because God wired us so that we experience the greatest joy. God wired us so that we experience the greatest fulfillment when we're meeting the needs of others. And so somewhere along the line, we have to go, okay, you know what? I want to start meeting the needs of others. You know, God has blessed me. And just like David, he goes, I'm pouring it out. I'm giving that blessing back to God. And I want to start meeting the needs of others. Be tuned in to the needs of others. It's wonderful. You know what? I've been on both ends where I've received and I've given. And they're both awesome. They're both awesome. And so start to tune in to the needs of other people. Okay? David didn't even ask for the water, right? All he did was just sort of like go, oh man, I'd love some of that water. He didn't even ask for it. But his friends went, there's a need. We see a need. And they went and they beat down the Philistines to bring him some water. Okay? And they just heard that and they went there and they went after it. You know what? That's a servant's heart. That's what a servant's heart is. Have you ever heard that expression? Servant's heart. I kind of like that expression. What is that expression all about? Well, a servant's heart is just someone who senses a need, hears a need, is made aware of the need, and goes, I'm stepping up to meet that need. I'm going to step in there. Okay? That's a servant's heart. So be tuned in to the needs of others. Third, be ready to fight for your church family. And we've talked about this before, about fighting for our church family. And I love that concept. David's three friends, they fought all those Philistines. They beat down Vince. They beat down Ryan like he was paper, like he was made of paper. Glass jaw Ryan Light. That's what we call him now. And so Clara was the last to go down. I mean, she was probably the toughest one up here, weren't you? You were the toughest, weren't you? Yes. I'd say that you were the toughest. Maybe the cutest, but definitely the toughest. Yeah? Okay. It's all pops and buzzes from here. Okay. So, you know what? David's three friends, they fought. And now, listen, we don't physically fight for our church, just in case you're wondering. This is like, what? We physically fight for our church? Well, maybe you. But we don't physically fight for our church, okay? How we fight for our church is we commit to our church and we commit to pray for our church, right? We pray, we encourage, we serve. That's how we fight for our church, okay? Here's what I like to see. Here's one way that I like to picture fighting for our church. Fighting for our church means you see somebody with a need, you see somebody just going through a really hard time, and you go, you know what, I'm not going to let you go through this alone. That's called fighting for your church. That's called fighting for somebody else. I'm not going to let you go through this alone. And I'm going to commit to praying for you. I'm going to commit to being here for you when you need to talk. I'm going to commit to getting some friends together if you have a need, right? And so that's church. Sometimes, one of my church family members, they'll go through a tough time. And you know what I'll do? I will pray every day for that person until I see a change, until I see God move on their behalf, okay? I'll make it a point. I'll write their name down, and I'll go, I'm going to pray every day until I see a change. And that's fighting, right? Because it's not always convenient. And sometimes we have to write ourselves a note and remind ourselves every day to be there for that person. I'll send them a little text and see how they're doing. I'll try to catch up with them, but I'll pray every day. And that's how we fight. That's how we fight when we do those things when they aren't easy, okay? And so my question is, will you do spiritual battle for your church and will you commit to pray? And we talked a little bit about this last week. Will you do spiritual battle and commit to your church to pray? And last thing is this, actually fourth thing is this, is give it all back to the Lord. If you've been blessed by the church in any way at all, can I just say, give it back to the Lord and you'll see that blessing come back multiplied. If you've been blessed by the church at all, if somebody in the church has ever blessed you, if somebody has ever prayed for you, if somebody ever came up to you and gave you a word of encouragement and gave you a hug or was there for you, give it back to the Lord. You know, David was so blessed that he gave the water back to the Lord as an offering. Here's the thing about community. Community is a three-way street, right? Don't we all love community, because a lot of times we view community as a one-way street. I love what community does for me, right? I love how it makes me feel. I love all my friends. I love how they're always there for me. Really? Your community needs this from you. I'm just so tired. That's just real. I'm just being real. You know what I'm saying? Okay? But that's not community. That's not community. And that's not how we want to be as a church. That's not how we want to function as a church. A community is a three-way street. It's we're blessed by our church family, and our response should be to show the Lord our gratitude. And how do we show God gratitude for the way he's blessed us through our church? By blessing our church back, right? Isn't that how we show community? Isn't that how families should function and the way that God designed us? And so we need to adjust our perspective and adjust it to one of just generously giving of our time and generously giving to our church family, our, you know, to show the Lord our gratitude that way. By being generous with our prayers, by being generous with our resources, by being generous with encouragement. You know, if you've ever been encouraged in church, then be an encourager. And turn around and just encourage some people, you know. And so that's how we do it. And that's when we experience the true beauty of the church. That's when we function as a family, right? Doesn't that sound like a place you want to be a part of? Yeah? Doesn't that sound like an awesome church? Yeah, it does, okay? I love that we're like, like I'm kind of preaching to the choir here. I know this, you know, because I see so many of you love the church so much. But it's always good to have a little refresher, you know. And so I want to experience the true beauty of the church. And the last thing is this. Bring others into the family. Bring others into the family, right? Bring others into the family of God. It's not in the story, but who wouldn't be changed by being welcomed into a church like we're talking about today? Who wouldn't be blessed by being welcomed into a place like we're describing, like that? And so pray and bring others in. And so I want you just to imagine just living in that beauty, living in that beauty of experiencing that kind of community where we're willing to go beyond relationships of convenience, where we experience the joy of meeting the needs of others, when we fight for each other spiritually, when we give it all back to the Lord. That's the kind of church that moves the kingdom of God forward. That's the kind of church that changes all of our lives. And so I want to do this. I want to close out just by praying this morning. And I'm trying to move quickly because we're welcoming members today. But I just want to say a quick prayer. If you're here this morning, first of all, and you're like, wow, I love this description of community. I love this description of family. I love this, but you know, I have a hard time trusting. You know, I've been burned by family before. I've been burned by church before. I've been rejected by church. Can I just say this? I want to make a disclaimer when I talk about church community. It's not about if you'll ever be offended or if you'll ever be hurt in community. It's when. It's when, okay? And so the thing is that God calls us to do, though, is that God calls us. Remember we talked a couple weeks ago, God calls us to forgive much, to forgive often. And to keep forgiving, and to keep loving. And that's how church community grows. That's how we get stronger, as we love each other, we forgive each other, and we keep moving through. And so if you're here this morning and you're like, I've been burned before, Lee. You talk about something that sounds wonderful, but I'm feeling really uncomfortable by that. I just want to pray for you. Okay, is that okay if I do that real quick? Can we just all close our eyes for a minute? God, we just love you so much. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, for David's example and his mighty friend's example of how they fought for him, of how they went the distance for him. And God, we want to be your mighty warriors, God. We want to be your men and women who will run to serve you, who will go through lengths, God, to bless you and to bless your family. And God, I pray for every person who's just ever been hurt by church community. And I pray, Lord, that you would put peace in their hearts. I pray, Lord, that you would soothe those wounds, that you would put your healing balm on their hearts, and that you would soothe their wounds, that you would give them peace. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to be people who forgive, people who love, God, that people who are committed to each other and in such awesome ways. God, we want you to be glorified in our community. We want you to be glorified in our church family. So Lord, give us your heart for your church. We love you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so let's do this. I still want anybody who needs prayer this morning to get prayer. And so I'm going to have Bethany and the prayer team stand back there in front of that delicious table of food so that if you go get prayer, you are tempted. And every way, and so, and I'll have you pray with them if you need prayer in just a minute. Now, we did have one of our prayer team members this morning, felt like the Holy Spirit was telling them that there was somebody here with pain in their heel. You've been having problems with your heel or your foot, and If that's you this morning, when we get up to pray and just a little bit, when Wendy comes to sing in just a little bit, you can go back and get prayer. I want to encourage you to do that. It's your lucky day. Go get prayer. Go let God heal you. But before we do that, we're going to do members. And I just love it, love membership time. I love it when we welcome new members at Mercy Vineyard. We believe that membership is a gift to be treasured, right? That when we become members at a church, it's a gift. We treasure it. We're committing to our church family. I love that place of membership. We believe that it's an honor to be a member of this church. And our members love the church, right? And we love them. And so, you know, here's the thing about membership. Here's the thing about the church. The church is not built on people who come and go, right? And we love people who come and go. We love it when people come and they're with us for a few weeks and they're blessed and they go on somewhere else. That's fine. But the church as a whole, the church isn't built on people that come and go, right? The church is built on people who stay. And that's how a church is built. And that's how a church increases in its exponential ability to make a difference in their community. Okay, so a church isn't built on people that come and go, but people who stay. And that's why we love our members. Our members are committed to the church. They embrace the vision to love, grow, and go for the greater glory of God. And so I'm going to have our members. If you're joining us in membership this morning, why don't you come up here and join me up here. And Wendy, if you would come and join me up here, that would be fantastic. And so we got a handful of people joining us in membership today. You guys are awesome and you're cold. And so, you could just stand right there, face that way, stand next to Heather. And so, do you have there? There they are, down there. Sorry. All right. This one's mine. Okay. I almost forgot one. Oops. And you know what's cool is I have gotten to know each of these five people, and they're all really awesome. So not that we've ever had people become members, and I went, but I don't want you guys to think that. But I love these guys. They're amazing people. They're such amazing people. And so we're going to go ahead and we're going to read the membership covenant together. Do we have it up there? Okay, there it is. And so we're going to read it together. We believe that membership isn't simply like a commitment to the church, but it's also the church's commitment to you. And that's membership. And so we're going to read it together. So the parts, we're not going to read the scriptures, but the parts that are not in italics, we're going to read together. So let's start with number one. I will protect the unity of my church by acting in love towards members, by refusing to gossip, by honoring the leadership. And number two, I will share the responsibility of my church by being an active part of a community group, we call them growth groups now, by praying for its growth and health, by inviting my friends and warmly welcoming visitors. See, all of our members are on the welcoming, are on the welcome team. So we all welcome visitors, right? We all welcome them. So number three, I will serve the ministry of my church by discovering my gifts and talents, by being equipped by my pastors to serve, by developing a disciple's heart. And number four, I will support the testimony of my church by attending faithfully, by living a godly life, and by giving regularly. All right. And then this part here is our commitment to you. So this is our role. We will love the church. By God's grace, we will practically love our membership by being patient, kind, merciful, accepting, and behaving as brothers or sisters in the Lord at all times. When we fail to do this, we will repent and restore relationship. We will protect the church. This is done primarily by teaching and practicing sound doctrine, but is also achieved by making sure our members are in community and part of the people of God as much as possible. Wolves attack sheep that are alone. We commit to be shepherds that lay down their lives for the sheep. And we will exhort and correct the church with all diligence, teaching, encouraging, and correcting. All right. So we're going to pray for you guys here real quick. Why don't we do this? Why don't we have a couple of people who are already members? If you want to just come around and just maybe place your hands on their shoulders and pray for them. So yeah, Andy and Bree, if you want to come, let's get three other members. Linda, all right. Who else? Any other members that just want to come and place your hands on their shoulders and pray for them and welcome them in. So go ahead and just take a step forward so they can get around behind you. And they just want to pray for you guys. So, all right. So let's all pray for them, welcome them. Father, we love you so much. We thank you, God, for this step of membership. We thank you, Lord, for those who you've brought into the family, into the community, who have said, hey, this is where I want to make my home. This is where I want to be. I want to be like one of David's mighty men and just serve and love and see the kingdom of God advance. And Lord, I pray that you would bless them, that you would encourage them. Lord, I pray that you would fill them so that they're just overflowing, God, for others. They're just overflowing to bless others and to love others in your name, God. God, we love you so much. Do you want to go ahead and pray for them? Yes, God. Y'all want to welcome them. And thank you, guys. Thank you so much. That's yours. That's your copy. All right. All right. Well, guys, we are going to wrap this up here with one last song. And then during the song, if you want to go and you want to get prayer, maybe it was your heel we were talking about. Maybe it was your heart we were talking about. Whatever it is, you just go ahead back there and you get prayer. But one last thing. When we're done with this song, we're going to go over there in the East Hall, and we're going to share a meal together. And so you are welcome to stay, whether you brought food or not, just stay and hang out and eat and shake somebody's hand or welcome a new member, whatever it is that you want to do, and we'll just have a family meal together. And so let's pray. Father, we love you so much. You're awesome. You're glorious. We do all that we do to love, grow, and go for your greater glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand together.